How did you get on that secret, mate? How did you know about this frame of mind that we all need to get into, especially with the way the world's crumbling now?
Well, I was actually a very slow learner, and I'd never read a self-help book until I was about 23, and knew nothing about attitude or how happy people think. But I began to ask myself perhaps similar questions to those that you may have. When I was about 23, 24, why are some people happier than others, and why are some of my friends happier than me? And it was at that point, I guess I was 25, and I made a shocking discovery. I discovered that the happiest people I knew had bigger problems than me, and that made no sense. Mm. But I bet you've had the experience where you've come across people who have gone broke, or they've lost loved ones way too early, or they've struggled. They've with all kinds of serious challenges, and yet these are the people that seem to find more joy and more meaning in life than the rest of us.
Andrew, it's funny. We just watched a documentary with our kids recently, and it was about these tribes overseas, and they have nothing, okay? So they're still living with clothes that they've made themselves, or coverings, I should say, that they've made themselves. They still play games in the dirt with sticks and all these sorts of things. They are some of the happiest people you've ever laid your eyes on, and they have nothing compared to what we would have in a, you know, modern society.
Isn't it amazing?
Fascinating.
And so we have to admit that it's not what happens to us, but it's how we think about what happens to us. Mm.
But the trouble is, Andrew, we've got all this bad news coming at us every day. We know the economy's bad. We know interest rates are going up, and yet people are saying, be happy, you know, be positive, you know, get on that happy frequency. How do you do that when you're surrounded by all this negativity every single day? I mean, this is a job we have to do every day. We wade through all the bad news to try and get some light out of it, and it's a battle, mate.
Well, it's a decision that we make to look for good things, and when we look for good things, we find them. So we recognize that every week and every year in recorded history has been full of challenges and opportunities, and it's not going to change. I mean, 40 years ago, we had inflation at 17%.
Hmm.
So, I mean, we may say, well, okay, so this is a tough time. Well, what about in my grandfather's time? He was born about 1900. So when he was 14, World War One broke out. Raged for 4 years, 20 million died, 21 million injured, at the close of which they had the Spanish pandemic, where something like 50 million people died. When he was 29, they had the Great Depression with worldwide unemployment. And then 1939, the Second World War, which raged for 6 years.
Andrew, it sounds like our grandparents had it worse than us.
Yeah, it does.
So the point is that every year is tough. And there are going to be challenges whenever you were born. But, I mean, we've still got Netflix. We've still got Uber Eats.
All the good things.
Well, you know, it's a matter of we find what we look for. And every day we wake up and we say, why am I glad I woke up? And what's one good reason that I can find to be happy for? Where I live and what I do and who is it that I love in my life? And so we create it by what we look for.
Well, I notice in your book you say we gravitate in the direction of our dominant thoughts. And it just stuck in my head. We gravitate in the direction of our dominant thoughts, meaning if you think about happy things all the time, then you're likely to be happier. But if you think negatively and hate everything, that's going to be the thing that sort of, I guess, you know, that you think about.
Yeah, and you find what, if you're looking for bad stuff, you will find it and you will attract it.
You know, the Zinc family say to us that, you know, thank God you're a part of their day every day. You make us feel good. And when you think about it, you go, really? So we've got that awesome responsibility. So Jade and I have an agreement amongst ourselves to try and push forward the positive and as many good stories as possible.
Keep upbeat.
And you know what? It works, but in another sense, Andrew, you do need constant reminding and constant pushing yourself, because you can go down the quag hole all the time, the quagmire. It's a battle for me every day. And I say it's a battle, Andrew, because negativity has been a big part of my framework. And, it's hard. It's a struggle. Should it be a struggle, though?
Well, it's a little bit like going to the gym. You say, well, if I don't go to the gym, then I start to lose my fitness. And so it is a daily thing, and it is, mental fitness is like physical fitness, and we get physically fit by running uphill and resisting gravity, and we get mentally fit by bouncing back from failure and disappointment, and it is a challenge. And so, but you don't have to fix your whole life today. All you need to do is live one compartment of 24 hours, which is uplifting and satisfactory. And there's so many things that we can do to help. I mean, when we share a compliment with somebody, not only do they feel good, but we feel better. When we support ourselves and quit criticizing ourselves, we make it easier. There's so many little habits that we can adopt. Not that we beat ourselves up when we slip, but we just say, I know that there are certain things that I can do every day that can keep me up and enjoying my life.
Andrew, the book is called Being Happy, and I don't want to give away all the secrets of your book, because obviously people can buy it at andrewmatthews.com. But I do want to ask you, I really like the idea. You said, why do traffic lights stay red for half a day when you're late for an appointment? And I thought, God, that's true. It's always the way, right? If you're running late, you can be guaranteed you get every slow driver, L-plater and red light. Why is that the case?
Well, you know, I think there's something there about desperation. And whenever we're desperate for something to happen, it doesn't. Whenever we're desperate to get a job or to sell an apartment or to buy a car, it doesn't work. When we're desperate for other people to like us, they don't. And so there's a message in there that we can be just a little bit less desperate, a little bit more relaxed about life.
And, you know, when you're happy, Andrew, and you're on that frequency, everything just seems to glide through easily. I know this. When you're supremely happy, everything just seems a breeze.
Doesn't it?
Yes.
But and the research is in now. You know, happy people solve problems 20% faster. We know that happy doctors diagnose illness 30% more accurately.
Wow.
Happy salespeople sell about 57% more perfume or real estate. So we're born and we're designed to function happily. Our brains work better. We are of course, more resistant to illness. We have more energy. And the entire positive psychology movement, which is now probably about 40 years old, refreshingly has had its emphasis or its focus not on, people with problems, but why is it that happy people thrive? And there's many reasons.
You've got a raft of brilliant books, Follow Your Heart, How Life Works, and, of course, Happiness in Hard Times. The book that changed Bilko's life and perspective is called Being Happy. So we do encourage everybody to have a look at that. As I said, you can find it on andrewmatthews.com or at all good bookstores. It has been an absolute pleasure, Andrew.
Now, can I just share something free with our listeners?
Oh, we love freebies. Yes, do tell.
I've just created a new ebook called Being Happy in Challenging Times, and it is on my website, andrewmatthews.com. That's Matthews with two T's. And if our listeners will go to andrewmatthews.com, they can download Being Happy in Challenging Times. It has my cartoons in it. You can read it in 7 minutes, and I think if you enjoyed our chat today, then you will find the book will be helpful.
Yeah, the cartoons are brilliant.
Lots of people love your book. 8 million books sold worldwide in 48 different languages. So, yes, clearly people do love your books, and we love a freebie. So thank you so much, Andrew. Really appreciate it.
Wonderful. Thank you.